So it seems like our audience loves Ian Eagle, the bird. I mean, that guy lit up the airwaves this morning during the big suey. And people have listened to it because, Mike, what I find interesting is our listeners have started to listen in the order that we've asked them to listen. Local Hour, Big Suey, live show, post-game show. And so you get the reaction during the show of what we did before the show. And what we did before the show is sit back and laugh at Ian Eagle. And, man, did the bird deliver. Did you guys enjoy that?
It's a tough act to follow, man. Yes. Today's show, it hasn't ever felt like a long show since we shortened the show. Today's did, just because Ian Eagle's was that good. And maybe it's because Billy's breakdown of the Mario Lopez, Colonel Sanders movie, as Sam referred to it, was also very long.
Is there
Or the Harden jokes, maybe?
The Harden jokes. Is there a guest throughout show history that surprised you more than Ian Eagle did today? You guys were surprised. I knew his sense of humor because I've known Ian for a while. And Dan did too because Boog told him stories of his sense of humor. So we kind of had an idea that he would be funny. But in terms of expectations, you didn't think it would be that good, did you, Chris?
I mean, that's tough. Like Mike, when you get these broadcaster guys, you know he's going to be good and like very energetic and articulate, obviously. But it's like the comedy, like his chops, like he seems like a genuinely fun dude you'd want to get a beer with. Like, I didn't see that coming.
Right.
I saw him having good energy, but I didn't see like a guy I'd want to hang out with.
I'm trying to think of the guest that exceeded that we set such a low bar for and exceeded our expectations.
I mean, Richard Lewis is the best guest in show history.
He's pretty good.
Wait a second. I think because Mike thinks Bob Ryan is the best guest in show history.
Yeah, I don't want to get into that debate. Everyone can have their favorite, but there is an expectation that Richard Lewis will be funny, right? Because he's a comedian and he's got this legendary stand-up career. And he's a part of Curb Your Enthusiasm. No one really expected Kenny G to be funny.
Right.
And Kenny G is funny. So I think in terms of most surprising good reoccurring guest, or recurring guest, it's Kenny G for me.
That's a pretty good one. I would say the guest we had on that we had such a high bar for that fell below expectations, and it was mostly on me and Dan, was Chuck Norris.
Oh, let me find that.
I mean, we built it up for, it felt like months at the time. We built everything up. We were doing the Chuck Norris jokes. You guys have some of those Chuck Norris jokes.
Yeah, I carry them with me all the time.
But I just, listen, I'm tired right now, okay? And I'm still swooning from Ian Eagle. Billy, do you have any of those Chuck Norris jokes for us?
No, but I have a topic you might be interested in. There's too many national signing days. Can we stick to just one? Oh. Today's national signing day. There's a national signing day in like April. There feels like there's another one in October.
Well, How many different sports, right?
No. It's National Signing Day for football, but we're also going to get National Signing Day for football in like January or February, and then there's the one in March. Can we just stick to one National Signing Day? Like, enough's enough already. This is like that people celebrating half birthdays. Like, no, one a year, that's all you get. National Signing Day, that's it.
All right, we have the Chuck Norris sound here. So what I will tell you is that for months, Bill, great take on National Signing Day. I'm sorry, I didn't have anything for you.
I was just filling for you.
Thank you. All right, we have the Chuck Norris sound. Well, you could have filled it with a Chuck Norris joke if you had any of those.
I mean, that was a terrible request.
It was Chuck chasing the Jeep.
So we had built up Chuck Norris and that for months on the show, okay, telling the Chuck Norris jokes. God refers to Chuck Norris as God, stupid stuff like that, okay? And then we actually got Chuck on. And I think Dan got a little nervous as well because for the first, what happened there? What happened?
I got to pop up for a meeting. Lots of meetings these days.
Okay. About what? Nothing you want to share with the audience? Okay. And so Chuck Norris eventually came on the show. And I think Dan was even nervous because the buildup was so big. We knew we had to deliver for the audience. And I am telling you, we had done hundreds at this point of interviews in our careers. Dan has never thrown it to me for the first question. And in this particular case, he did throw it to me and I failed.
All right. We're going to see whether these, any of these here can crack Chuck Norris's top 10. Now, your favorite involves the Tyrannosaurus Rex. You want to do yours?
Yeah, that Chuck Norris was chasing the Tyrannosaurus Rex. The Rex was not chasing the Jeep.
Okay, in Jurassic Park. Way to screw that up. I kind of blindsided him.
I didn't know you were throwing it to me there.
That's my fault. What it was, way to deliver that one. Good to start that way.
And there's Tony in the middle window celebrating my demise.
I love tracing.
And what the hell are you laughing at, Chris?
I'm honestly laughing at how much this is just the Tony character now. It's just celebrating. I mean, I kind of feel him, though. I agree.
We're all going to be waiting for you now, Tony. All of us.
Oh, Tony.
Every
every one of us. Mike, I want to ask you a serious question before we get out of here. Has anything changed as it relates to James Harden for you? Giannis signs the Supermax, okay? Now you have a chance still, possibly, of getting a guy who was the MVP of the NBA for a guy who had a good run in a bubble in a playoff that had no fans, okay? I mean, Tyler Herro would have to be involved. Has anything changed for you in terms of wanting James Harden? Probably. I'm not saying it's so. But probably knowing you're not going to get Giannis over the next 5 years.
I think by now the audience has sort of caught on to the fact that if I were running the Miami Heat, I'd rather ride it out than bring on James Harden. Because I just culturally, I don't think he's a great fit. But right. Number one overriding factor over what my preference is what the Heat organization wants. Most part, they're a lot smarter than any of us when it comes to basketball and building out a roster. So if Pat Riley and the Miami Heat organization decide to move in for James Harden, I'll buy in immediately, and I'll say that's what's best for the organization because this team made it to an NBA Finals. They seem to know exactly what they're doing. There's a lot more good on their resumes down here than bad, so I'll trust what they decide. However, if it were me, I'd rather ride it out with this core. At least you don't have to be in a rush to get James Harden. He just played last night.
I know.
He's a player that obviously is going to command a lot. You can play the waiting game a little bit.
By the way, I didn't realize Boogie Cousins is now a Rocket.
Yeah, he's a Rocket, yeah. And John Wall is there too, so they're running it back to a degree with some of those Houston guys. I want to wait it out and see exactly what kind of player Tyler Herro is in year two. That being said, Bradley Beal gets me a little bit more excited than James Harden, if you can believe that, just because I think he's a better fit, even though James Harden, everyone in the world will say, is a much better talent.
Chris, don't you love the idea? I do. Of James Harden, Jimmy Butler, and Bam. I mean, I love Tyler Herro. It was a great run. He did it in a bubble. He didn't do it in front of fans on the road the traditional way. That excites me if I'm a Heat fan. I love the upside of Tyler Herro. But I have no idea if he'll ever be James Harden. In fact, I'm going to say he's not going to be James Harden. And you have a chance to get an MVP of the NBA, team him up with Jimmy Butler, and Bam. To me, that's exciting in the East. You can get to the finals with that team. They just did get to the finals. But you can win a title with that team, possibly.
I don't know what I'm doing, but I agree with Mike. I want to ride it out with Tyler Herro. It might, like, we might look back 5 years from now and be like, wow, that's the dumbest thing ever.
Are you guys crazy?
No, the age matters too. This is an 11 and a half year gulf between the players. It matters.
I know, but listen, I don't love Harden as well. I don't love him. But you have a chance to up. You have no idea what Tyler Herro's going to be.
Well, the counter argument is you got Jimmy Butler here, and what Spo said was telling. You have to win it during his window. Maybe. Even though he just made it to an NBA Finals with Tyler Herro, maybe Jimmy Butler isn't as patient and wants a legit shot at winning a title. And I think everyone, even myself, would give you that your chances at winning a title this upcoming year are with the established talents of James Harden over whatever ceiling, even if you have the highest imaginable year two ceiling, than that of Tyler Herro.
This is Riley's window we're talking about, though. It's Riley's window. And if Riley's window, this is what I believe, Mike, that if we think Riley's window is another 2 or 3 years, they're going to go out and try to get James Harden. That's it. Because James Harden over the next 2 or 3 years gives the Heat a better chance of not getting to the finals, winning a championship than Tyler Herro does.